Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Verse 15, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish.'" Chapter 8, verse 5. "And Esther said, 'If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the things seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred?" One translation of that particular verse that I just read to you says, "I can't take it. I just can't take it watching my people die." And I want to preach to you from this text, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to watch young people go to hell without putting up a fight. If hell thinks that I'm just going to sit back and let young people march their way to hell, hell's got another thing coming. Because there's something born in my spirit. I'm not satisfied with just the status quo of what's going on right now. I want to see everyone that raised their hand that don't have the Holy Ghost receive it before they walk out of this building. And I can't take it any other way. Does anybody have that attitude burning in their spirit? Do you have the same passion and desire? I want God to put it in you right now in Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands and ask God's anointing upon His Word. Lord, anoint Your Word. Put this driving desire, this passion in every heart. God, it's time for us to develop a passion in serving Jesus Christ. If we're going to pray, let's pray with passion. If we're going to win souls, let's win souls with passion. If we're going to worship, let's worship with passion. God, put in us that passion for Your gospel, for Your truth, for Your righteousness. Give it to us right now in the name of Jesus. Baptize us with that spirit of passion. God bless you. You may be seated. Young people, the time to realize your destiny is now. God has brought each of you to the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe that Esther came to the kingdom for a specific purpose, and that was to release God to do what God already had purposed in His heart to do, and that was deliver the Jews from the treachery of Haman. All God needed was a willing vessel through whom He could convey His deliverance. Want you to understand something here tonight. God already wants to give this church the greatest Holy Ghost revival we have ever experienced. I don't think we need to convince God to give us a Holy Ghost outpouring. I don't think God needs persuading. I don't think God needs to be convinced for us to have revival. God already wants to do it. What God's looking for is a willing vessel and somebody who says, "God, You can use me." I just want you to know something I just can't watch. I can't sit back and watch somebody else have revival and me not have it. Because I believe that somebody's going to have revival in this hour. Somebody's going to rise up and reap a harvest. And it might as well be the United Pentecostal Church and the young people in the Western District you can mention. Their deliverance is going to rise from somewhere. It might as well rise up right here. Somebody ought to get the passion that says, I can't take watching somebody else have it and us not get it. Hallelujah. I just want you to understand that God has a deliverance and a victory that's already prepared and waiting for somebody to release it. And this deliverance includes something more than just setting people free. It also includes an enlargement. I just want you to know this church isn't big enough as it is right now. Your local church doesn't have enough people in it right now. It's not us four and no more. I want you to know it's the will of God to grow your church and enlarge it and make it bigger and add new people to it. I'm just going to preach it like I feel it in the Holy Ghost. The United Pentecostal Church and the young people of the United Pentecostal Church ought to be the friendliest young people in town. Whenever sinners walk into our church, they ought to feel welcome and accepted. We're not going to leave them sinners because there's power in the blood and there's power in the preaching to deliver them from sin. I believe that God can give this church a great harvest of souls in 1996 where this building becomes too small for your youth convention. I believe God wants it to enlarge. Does anybody have a passion? Does anybody have a desire? I'm going to tell you, I can't take it any other way. I've come here to see God do a work, and He wants to do it. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand that this victory that I'm talking about includes an access to God that's not according to the law. You see, when Esther presented herself to the king, she didn't do it according to the law because she had no right, according to the law, to go before the king. But she presented herself to the king not based on the law, but she presented herself to the king based on a relationship that she had with him. Because she knew he loved her, she had that privilege to present herself to the king. And she knew that if that golden scepter was going to be lifted to her and she was going to be accepted, she knew that there had to be a relationship there and a love in his heart for her. I just want you to know, young people, that you can come into the presence of the King based on a relationship that you have with Him that's been established by the power of the blood. Hey, my friend, I want you to recognize that there's nobody forcing you to praise God tonight. There's nobody forcing you to be here tonight. You're not here according to the law. You're not here because somebody made you be here. You're here because you've got a love relationship with the King. My God, if you're being forced to worship God, why don't you sit down? If you feel like you're being traumatized by what I'm saying, sit down. But there's something in me. I can't take it. There's young people dying lost and going to hell. They've got earrings and they've got nose rings and they need Jesus. They need an apostolic youth group that's full of the Holy Ghost, that's not afraid to be a witness. Their hair's all kinds of different colors and they're on their road to hell and they need somebody to reach them with the only message that can save them. I don't know how you feel about it, but I still believe people need to repent and get baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm going to preach it till the day I die, and I feel it burning in my spirit. Something has set me on fire in this youth convention, and I can't take it any other way. If you want to walk into the presence of the King, then you need to do so according to your relationship with Him. Well, why do you clap your hands? Well, the preacher said, I got to do it or I'm going to go to hell. Young ladies, why don't you cut your hair? Why do you let your hair grow long? Well, Mom and Daddy said, I got to do it or I'll get in trouble. That's not the reason why we live for God. That's not the reason why we look holy and dress holy. We do this according to a relationship that we have established with the King. And I can't take it any other way. Friend, I want you to know you're not forced to do anything. But if you've got a love for the King, if you've got a love for a Holy Ghost revival, then you want to do it because you love it. I want every local church in California, Nevada, Western District, I want every local church to have revival. I want every local church to grow. I want every local church to double and triple in size. And I believe it can start right here in this youth convention. I believe that there's a harvest for souls for somebody to reap. And I don't want the Moonies to reap it. And I don't want the Jehovah's Witness to reap it. And I don't want the Mormons to reap it. I want the United Pentecostal Church to reap it. And I can't take it anyway. Now Esther did three things to release God to deliver the Jews. She allowed God to use her as the channel to bring this deliverance about and to create this enlargement and to create a victory that would set them free from the treachery of Haman. First of all, she allowed the chamberlain to beautify her. She required only what the chamberlain suggested. Now I want you to understand that she allowed the chamberlain to prescribe to her exactly how much perfume to use, how to dress herself, and how to present herself to the king. Because not just anything is going to gain acceptance to the king. You got to smell right. You got to look right. You got to talk right. Because the king isn't going to accept junk. The king's got a high standard, and he has set a chamberlain in your life to suggest to you what you should do. Now the chamberlain didn't command it. The chamberlain just suggested it. And it's just a suggestion. That somebody ought to praise God here tonight. Just a suggestion that you ought to go home and start teaching Bible studies and have revival and reap a harvest. Just a suggestion that we ought to come into the presence of the King with gladness and not walking on our bottom lip all the time because we are under some kind of problem or situation. I think that if we're going to do the will of God, we ought to receive the suggestion of the chamberlain. That's the reason why God's put a pastor in your life to beautify your life with salvation. It's up to him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bring salvation to your soul through the preaching of the Word of God. Salvation beautifies the life. But worship also beautifies the life, and it's up to the chamberlain to step up to the pulpit and preach the worship and the praise that is accepted by the king. But holiness also beautifies the individual. It is up to the chamberlain to preach and to declare the Word of God and suggest to the congregation that holiness that is accepted by the King. And I believe tonight that there's some people that will listen to the word of the chamberlain because they know if they're going to be accepted by the King, they've got to look right, they got to talk right, and they got to walk right. Now come on, young people, you can't talk your way out of the victory and talk some junk to your mind and spirit and tear yourself down in your own mind and expect God to accept you. It's time for us to start speaking faith to ourselves and believing that our message still works to change life. I just want you to know it works. I want you to know it still works. It still works on alcoholics. It still works on drug addicts. It's just a suggestion here, but somebody ought to be magnifying God. Somebody needs to be cleaning up their life and making it presentable to the King. Now we need to get something straightened out here. I was raised in Pentecost, so I understand this just a little bit. And I understand how it works. I don't want you to think for one minute that I'm asking you to worship God just to make me feel like I'm preaching a good message. I believe I'm preaching a good message whether you clap your hands and worship God or not. Hooey on you. I don't need it. You're not giving this to me. You're not doing this for me. You're doing this to please the King. Oh, don't do it for me. I don't want it because I can't help you out when you're in trouble. I can't hear you cry when you call on the name of the Lord. But there is one who can receive your prayer anywhere you're at, no matter what the situation is. My God can hear your cry. If you're going to do it, you ought to do it to please the King. If you're going to do it, you ought to do it because that's what it takes to be accepted in the King's court. But I'm not just doing this for myself. I'm not just praising God for myself. What I'm doing is for others in this building that need Jesus. What we're doing it to raise up a testimony so others can see a light that shines in our life, so that they will know that there is a God in the heavens and that there is a King who rules over all. Come on, is there any young people in the Western District that has a love relationship with the King? I'm doing it because I love the Lord. I'm doing it because I really love Jesus. Do you really love Him? Do you really care about Him? The second thing she did was she challenged the devil. She knew that she could not allow the treachery of Haman to rule. She knew that the law that was written to kill the Jews had to be changed. And the only way she could challenge the enemy was to prepare a banquet for the King. Now I want you to understand that you cannot defeat the devil in your own power. You don't have what it takes. You're not big enough, you're not strong enough, and you're not great enough. Now let me just stop here and just do a little preaching for a moment. I am tired of preaching to congregations and then talk about the devil and everybody shout, but when I start talking about Jesus, everybody sits down. Oh, we talk about whipping up on the devil and everybody gets excited, but when we mention Jesus, nobody gets excited. I can't take that. I said, I can't take that. Oh, yes, I believe we need to challenge the enemy and defeat him. But the important thing is, it's not whether or not we whip the devil. It's whether or not we magnify the King. It's whether or not we lifted up Jesus. I promise you, you prepare that banquet for the King and then bring him in and sit him down at the table and say, King, I want you to feast on this. I'm living for you and I love you with all my heart. And I'm going to praise God at youth convention and I'm going to go back home and do the same. I'm not just going to live for God here, but I'm going to live for God when I get back home. I'm not just going to look holy here, but I'm going to look holy when I get back home and when I go to school. I'm not going to roll up my skirt when I go to school, but I'm going to look holy and I'm going to dress right. King, I want you to taste this. I'm going to teach Bible studies and do the will of God and be a soul winner in my church and see it grow and enlarge for the cause of God. When she prepared those two banquets for the King and presented them to him, It pleased him so that when she made her request, it released the king to do something about the enemy. I've got news for you. You please the king. The king will take care of the devil for you. I said, you please the king. He'll take care of the enemy for you. Hey, maybe I can't do anything about the devil, but I know somebody who can. And I promise you, you lift up Jesus in this house, and I'll show you what my God can do. I believe that my God is pleased whenever His people present themselves to Him in the chamber because they love Him. I want you to know I feel an anointing in this house like I have never felt in my life. Now, Brother Howard, I want to show y'all something because the Bible says submit yourselves to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I want to show you how to resist the devil. Come on up here, devil. He said he's a good devil. Now, when we think of the word resistance, we always think of a defensive position. We think of the French resistance during World War II. The enemy's already come in and taken over your territory and you've been driven underground and you've got to try to take it back now. And we're always trying to take something back and get back to where we used to be and all of that kind of business. Well, I just want you to know that I'm trying to get a hold of something I've never had before. All right. Now this is the devil. Now, he comes punching on you and he's come messing with you. All right, come on and punch on me a little bit. And come on and hit on me just a little bit. And here I am trying to block the blows. And here I am, defensive position. I won't really get with it tonight. I won't really get excited about Jesus. No, please. And we're always trying to defend ourselves. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to defend what we believe in the sense of being defensive in spirit and in attitude. You know what that word resist means? It means hit back. Some of you letting the devil walk all over you and run all over you. Passive, sitting back, spectating. Come on, I can't take that kind of junk around here. I want somebody that's got a spiritual desire to hit back. You got the name of Jesus. Why don't you get it off the shelf and dust it off and put it into action? You got the blood. You got the Word of God. Oh, I'm Pentecostal and I can't do this and I can't do that. You don't need to be on the defensive. You need to say, I'm a child of God and I'm glad. You please the king. I said, you please the king, and he'll defeat the enemy on your behalf. He'll bring him down. I said, my king will bring him down because he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to bring deliverance in the midst of trial. He knows how to create an enlargement. You got to hit back. You got to learn how to feed the king and what to feed him. You got to know what to put on the table. Because when you do it just right, friend, there is no limit to what he'll give you. He said, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. That means I'll make you a joint heir. That means I'll put you right alongside me. Whatever you want up to half the kingdom, I'll give it to you. That I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that there is not room to receive it. You know what? I believe that it's time for us to challenge the enemy. We don't need to sit back. If you're not having a move of God like you want to in your church, then challenge it. If your daddy's not serving God and it seems to be trouble in the house because he won't do it, you need to challenge the enemy. You don't need to fight him. You need to challenge the enemy. Whenever the pastor steps up to the pulpit and begins to preach and make suggestions to you of what you need to do, and it seems like there's a little pull and it seems like it's a little tough, you don't need to sit back there and say, well, bless God, he hadn't got it tonight. Come on, that's when you need to show up and fight. That's when you need to challenge the status quo and get on your feet and say, it's time for a move of God. Pastor, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm behind you. 100%. Let's see revival. Hit back. I'm not just going to lay down and let the devil walk all over me. I'm going to hit back. Now, devil, I want you to go stand right over there. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, come up here, rod, quickly. No, you. And thy staff, they comfort me. I've got a rod on this side, and I got a staff on this side. Now, I'm not on the mountaintop where everything's going cool, but I'm in the valley where everything's going bad. But I'm still protected by the rod. And if the devil approaches me from the left, the rod will knock him upside the head. And if he approaches me from the right, he'll punch him in the mouth. Stay there, devil. Stay there. But that's not all you got. The Bible says, thou preparest a table before me. Come on up here, table. In the presence of mine enemies, before me. That means in front of. You can just stand up and face the congregation. That'll be fine. I got a table before me. That means the devil can't take me today because God's already got something prepared for me. That means he can't bring you down today because God's already got something prepared for you. But that's not all you got. Surely goodness, come on up here, goodness, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Come on, goodness, follow me. Get behind me. I mean, these are two sheepdogs that follow the flock. And there's goodness right here, pulling you back into the fold whenever you kind of stray too far away. They're just like two sheepdogs. They're following behind you, nipping at your heels, pulling you back in. When you get too far out this way, mercy will reach out and pull you back in. Because God's not going to let you get away from him, young people. I said, God's not going to let you get away. And guess what? I'm not going to let you get away. I'm not going to let worldliness take you. I'm not going to let all the filthiness and the dirtiness of this world take you down and destroy your life. And I don't want you doing it because you feel like I'm forcing you to do it. I want you to do it because you've got a relationship with the King. I want you to do it because you're pleasing the King. Now I want y'all to get in real close. I'm walking in a valley, and the enemy approaches, and he thinks he's going to do some damage. But I got news for you, enemy. I can challenge you because I've got a bodyguard that's going to make sure you can't get to where I'm at. And all you got to do is shout. Some of you don't even have the revelation yet, but you're right here in the middle of what my God has already prepared. My God's already produced it. My God's already given it to you. I can't take watching our young people turn out to be charismatics and selling out for something less than what I know is the real thing. I'm not going to have it. I can't take that. I said I can't take our young people walking out and going to the charismatics and our preachers going out and doing that. I can't take that. I'm going to stand against it. I'm not trying to be mean. I just can't take it anymore. My God, it's time for us to get a hold of the real thing. The U.S. Department of Treasury, whenever they train somebody to discover and find counterfeits, they don't train them in all of the different kinds of counterfeits they're going to encounter. They study it frontwards. They study it sideways. They study it backwards. They study every aspect of the real thing. They're blindfolded. I said they're blindfolded to where they can get a feel for the real. But even though they can't look at it, they can just touch it and say, this ain't real. This ain't real. This ain't real. I want you to know it's time for us to get a feel for the real. Where even if the devil's got you blindfolded, you can just get a feel for it. And you know, that ain't right. That ain't right. There's an anointing in this house. I feel it all over me. I feel like somebody's going to hit back now. Somebody's not going to let their brothers and sisters go to hell without putting up a fight. They're not going to let their moms and dads go to hell, their friends at school go to hell without putting up a fight. You better believe I'm going to preach it. I'm the chamberlain right now for this particular moment, and I want to preach it with the anointing, and I want to preach it right out of the book. But the third thing she did to release God, to do what God already wanted to do, third thing, is she learned how to reverse the curse. You see, the kings, the Medes and the Persians, they had a law. And the law of the Medes and Persians said, once the law is enacted, it cannot be changed. So she said, oh king, I know that you can't change the law because you've already said that the Jews are going to die on a certain day and everybody's going to fight against them and kill them. But what I'd like for you to do is to write a higher law and give the Jews the right to fight for their life. Now there is a law of sin and death that works in every one of you, just like the law of gravity keeps all of you on the floor. You'd like to jump up and go in the rapture right now, but there's a law of gravity that keeps you tied down. But there's a higher law than the law of gravity, and it's called the law of aerodynamics. Whenever you set the wings at a certain little angle and you got enough power behind you, the very thing that's holding you down becomes the thing that picks you up. Now, yes, there's the law of sin and death working in every one of us, but I got a higher law that says that the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus can deliver you from the law of sin and death. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to reverse the curse right now. The very law that he set in motion to bring us down is going to actually be turned around and used against him, and it's going to pick us up. Yeah, that trial that he's designed to try to destroy your soul in hell is going to be turned around and be the very thing that's going to make you the child of God. God wants you to be. It's time for us to go ahead and apply our right to fight. God's given you scriptural permission to fight the enemy and defeat him in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, you won't fight this battle alone, but I'll fight it with you. I'll fight your battles for you. The battle belongs to the Lord. Now, some of you haven't applied that higher law. You haven't stretched out your wings far enough. I mean, some of you are so closed off right now. You're so bowed up in your mind and in your spirit, you won't open up. Some of you need to open up right now and just lift your hands and go on and worship God. Come on, don't turn a deaf ear to the word of the Lord tonight. Let the chamberlain talk to you for a while. There's a higher law. You need to go ahead and open it up and apply it and say, I'm fighting for my life. Fighting for the life of my loved ones, fighting for the life of my friends, for my neighbors, for those that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I got a different mentality. When I walk to this pulpit, I mean business. And I'm trying to fight every devil in hell to get this message across, but I don't care. I just accept that as just a part of it. And I'm not all bowed up about it because I know the enemy wants to stop this message from going forth. But I've got news for him. I'm going to preach it anyhow. And God's going to use it to bring victory into somebody's life tonight. I'm I'm going to tell you, I've been awakened every night at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've had to pray my way out of a battle, and I've had to pray my way out of some problems and some situations that the devil's been trying to put on my mind. But I come against him in the name of Jesus, and I'm not going to take it sitting down. Because I hope you hear me tonight. And I'm telling you from the depths of my heart, this is the time for the greatest harvest of souls for our church. And I believe that these young people and everybody in this house desires the same thing that I want. And I want to see it happen. I want to see every church set on fire by the Holy Ghost. But I need some young people that know how to apply the higher law and reverse the curse. But they had a problem. Wasn't too many days before they were going to rise up and raise that army up to kill the Jews. So they had to get this new law published. And they had to get dromedaries and people on camels and swift horses, and they even got some of them on mules, to take the law and publish it to all of the provinces so the Jews would know you got a right to fight. You don't have to just sit down and let them whip up on you. You can stand up and fight for yourself. Can't change the fact that they're going to fight against you. Now, I can't change the fact the devil's going to fight you. That's just an inevitable fact. You might as well go on and accept that. The devil ain't going to take nothing sitting down. But I've got a higher law, and I just want to know, is anybody going to help me publish it? Anybody going to help me post it? And tell everybody about it? Just a suggestion now. Just a suggestion. Just a suggestion. I'm just suggesting to you tonight that you can whip every devil in hell if some of you just go ahead and use the weapons you've already got provided for you at Calvary. Just a suggestion. I'm just suggesting if some of you get rid of that unforgiving spirit you've got in you right now and just say, I'm not going to hold these feelings in my heart against that person that hurt me anymore, that my God would use you in a greater dimension. That's just a suggestion now. Some of you got a negative attitude towards your pastor, and you need to get it out of your spirit right now. Just a suggestion. Just a suggestion to you. Is anybody going to help me publish this new law that says you don't have to go to hell? There is hope, because there's a God who can deliver you out of your sin. Is there anybody going to help me publish it? Now, I need somebody that's kind of quick on the draw, you know. I mean, you people in the Western District, you're kind of blowing my mind. I mean, I've never seen anybody just quite like you, and I've preached all over the place, and I just haven't seen anybody just quite like you. I mean, none of you know how to behave yourself in church. None of you. None of you got any manners at all. You're all crazy. Every one of you have lost your mind. I guess it's something to do with that higher law. That says, I'm not just going to take it sitting down. I'm going to rise up and do what I got to do to see God set men free. I can't take that. I can't take dead church. I can't take lifeless altars. I can't take empty baptistries. I got to see it happen to the glory of God. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. Got to have that desire and that hunger and that spirit in you that says, I just can't take it. I want to do the will of God. Well, guess what? They got the law published. They fought for their lives, and they won. And guess what happened? They decided to create a new feast. There were three major feasts in the Old Testament, but they decided to create a new one, and they called it the Feast of Purim. The word Purim means a lot that has been cast you, a dice that's been thrown. Not a very good lot at that. Your lot in life may not be very good, but he said, I'm going to create a new feast, and we're going to call it Purim. We're going to cast the lot, and we're going to break it. And it comes from a word which has got a word picture of wine press, of grapes being placed in a wine press, and getting into the wine press and pressing out the grapes. may not be too good right now, but when we get finished with it, it's going to be better. And we're going to turn it into something wonderful. I just want you to know that God's established a new feast in this place, and it's called the Feast of Purim. I don't care what kind of lot's been thrown you in your life. You can put it in the wine press of the church. You can put it in the wine press of the Holy Ghost. You can put it in the wine press of the suggestion of the Chamberlain. And I don't care if you were raised up in an alcoholic home. I don't care if you're raised up in a drug addict's home. You can take your lot in life and put it in the wine press of the Holy Ghost. And when God gets finished with it, He can turn it into something better. I believe we're going to break the lot. Say, but you don't understand what my lot is in life, Brother Kinsey. I may not understand it, but I do know this. We're fixing to break it right now in Jesus' name. I got scriptural permission to fight on your behalf, and you better believe I'm going to do it with everything I've got, and we're going to break the lot. Your life might be broken and hurting right now, but you just bring it to Jesus and put it in this wine press and let the Holy Ghost go to work on it. We're going to see a deliverance and an enlargement come because you are willing to let God use you. You're willing to let God use you to bring it to pass. I don't care if you are the only person in your family, if your father or your mother, perhaps they don't serve the Lord, but you serve Jesus. I want you to just lift your hand right now. Are you the only one in your family that serves the Lord? Perhaps your mama serves God, but your daddy doesn't. Would you lift your hand? Or your daddy serves God, but your mother doesn't. I want you to lift your hand. You look at how many people's lots have been cast them that are not in goodly places. But God can take it and put it in His wine press. And when He's finished with your life, He can mold it and make it into something glorious and beautiful because there's a higher law. I can't change the fact that the devil's going to fight you, and I can't change the fact that there's a world out there that wants to drag you through all of its muck and mire. I can't change that fact, but I can tell you that we got a higher law that gives us the right to fight it. We can't put up a fight. And guess what? If we'll put up the fight, we're already assured of the victory. I just got to put some fight back in you. We can't be passive like this Western culture is trying to make us be. Just be passive and let everybody else make good decisions for you. Come on, it's time for us to make up our own mind. I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to please the King. And friend, if you please the King, then you don't have to worry about the enemy. You don't have to worry about what comes against you. If you're pleasing the King, He'll take care of the devil. I think it's time for young people to pray. Bring your lot to Jesus right now. Get out of those pews and bring your lot to Jesus and put it in His wine press. Come on now. There's a Holy Ghost move all over this house. Something's happening in this place, and it's powerful. Walk up here. Find you a place to pray. Say, God, I got to have it. I can't take it any other way. I can't take it any other way. God, I want to live holy in an unrighteous world. I'm a stranger living in a strange land. But I believe I got a message. I believe I got a higher law that applies. That's it. Come on. If you need to walk up here on this platform, get up here. Pray. I want you to bring your lot, put it in the wine press, and let God break it. There's something in this atmosphere so powerful, so mightily anointed. My God wants to use you, young people. He's already got it worked out. He already knows what He wants to do. He's just finding a willing vessel, somebody that'll let themselves be used. Let the Chamberlain suggest to you what you need to do. And on his suggestion, you You make it a requirement. She required. It was something that she required of herself at the suggestion of the chamberlain. That's the attitude God wants to put in you. That you required of yourself at the suggestion of the chamberlain. At what the pastor preaches, you required of yourself. That what the Word of God declared, you required of yourself. You apply it to yourself because you know that if you beautify yourself, if you make yourself presentable, if you make yourself ready, if you do this, then God will be pleased. And when God is pleased, when the Lord is pleased by your banquet and by the feast, then He'll take that lot that's been cast to you, the treachery, the trouble, the crisis, and He'll break it, and He'll turn it into something better. He'll show you. It'll work out. He'll apply the higher law in your life, and He'll make it work on your behalf. That's it, young people. I want you to pour your heart out to God like you've never done before. I want you to cry out to Jesus. I want you to call on Him because you don't know what's going to happen in your life. Come on, let God use you. I said, open up your heart. Put the lot in the wine press. Oh, I can't take it. You need to start requiring of yourself what the chamberlain suggests. I suggested you required of yourself. Just let the Holy Ghost be poured out upon you. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it any other way. I gotta have it God's way or no way. I gotta see God apply the higher law and give people hope and a right to fight. So that when they do, the Lord will help them and He will fight their battles for them. And you will defeat the enemy. You will bring him down because you are the child of God. You are the one who has submitted your lot to the wine press, the feast of Purim. It's time to celebrate the feast. It's time to celebrate it. It's time to realize the greater victory, what God can do with a life. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you've been hurt, hit, and abused. Your life's torn apart because of it. Your mind's been torn apart because of it. But I want you to know you can put that lot in the wine press and God makes something better out of it. That's what we've been fighting for. That's what we fight the enemy for. We just need somebody that's got a passion. They don't care whether they got to ride a swift horse or a dromedary or a mule or a camel. All they want to do is publish the higher law and let others know. Jesus. That's it. Whatever the chamberlain suggests, you required of yourself. That's what pleases the king. All the chamberlain's got to do is suggest it, and then you required of yourself. That's what pleases the king. That's it, young people. Cry out to God. Pour your heart out to Him. Empty yourself of everything. And let God fill you with Himself, with His power and with His glory. Shandabahaya.